Hotline. At this time, it's my pleasure to welcome to this hotline, Luna Vachon. How you doing tonight, Luna?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. It's pretty exciting having you call me and still see that maybe a couple of people are still interested in listening to what Luna's up to these days.
Absolutely, and we definitely appreciate your time today. Real quickly, this is the official hotline of www.gerwack.net, and I've been trying to get Luna for a short time now, and I'm glad I finally got a chance to hook up with her. I guess the first question was just recently, your husband, Gangrel, was released, and I think a lot of people were surprised because I think a lot of people were unsure that he was, you know, actually with WWE, did the angle where they brought him and Viscera back, but I think a lot of people were surprised he was even there. I know he was down in OVW, maybe waiting for the phone call, and unfortunately the phone rang and it was kind of bad news this time.
Yeah, it seems, you know, it's so hard up there when they're having hard times. They have to cut what sometimes is good talent, and I consider my husband to be one of the better talents in this country right now, and he has suffered a lot of hard breaks, it seems like, and I think that his character, I know in OVW they do some live venues, and even as hard as he tried to be a bad guy, the folks always ended up turning him into a good guy, and by the end of the match, the people were saying, you know, going along with him being a heel, let's just call it heel and babyface, because the people are smart anyway. We're the marks, we keep trying to convince them. By the end of the match, the people would finally go along because he is so good, with him being a heel. And then by the end of the match, they would be popping for him again because they're just happy to see somebody of his caliber working, you know. And so it's really, really rough for him. But I don't think that Vince really ever liked the vampire gimmick. He can't come in under this. Vince Russo's reign with the vampire gimmick in the beginning, and he had told David that he was not interested in ever using a vampire before that, and so here we sit wondering what we're going to do when we grow up.
Now, when he was released, so I assume that John Laurinaitis called him, and what did they tell him?
Well, they just said that they were really, really sorry, and that they hated to do it, and that he was one of many, and that it was just a budget cut thing, it's a shame because I think that in Ohio Valley that David learned a lot of things, like how much he enjoys teaching young people, and even when they would tell David to go out there and do the job and stuff, he never ever had a problem with it because that's his personality. Whereas when these new faces that come along and they have suffering from severe visions of grandeur would go and they'd be all pouty faces, oh, that's not what I see for my character and stuff, and actually sometimes because of the forest you can't see the trees, and we're all beatable, and we're all, you know, our business is smoke and mirrors, and people sometimes have the wrong attitude when they believe that they are unbeatable, because we are either the lowest paid actors in the world or the lowest paid athletes in the world or the lowest paid actors in the world. I'm not sure which one it is yet, but we're somewhere in there.
What was the reaction? Because I know David was down there when you know, Jim Cornette. And what was the reaction to Jim Cornette being fired?
I don't think that he even knows that his cornet fired right now.
Yeah, he had an incident where he actually slapped one of the students and ended up firing him.
Oh, really? I don't think David even knows that. We stay very far away from a lot of the politics that are involved in that point. Right. We stay very far away from a lot of it. In fact, as far as David getting hired back, I had like no desire or anything to ever show up at any building with him or anything, because I had been such a heat seeker with my last friend was Sable. She had turned me into such a where everybody believed I was such a total crazy that I was my gimmick, and she would do things to instigate me to so that people would believe that, and I totally fell for it. And God bless her. I hope she's doing good for herself now, because she sure knows how to manipulate people.
Yeah, let's talk a little about you. I mean, what's been going on in your career, your life, and what has Luna been up to?
Well, it's very, very interesting. Luna, the craziest woman that ever stepped foot in the squared circle 2 years ago, went to Phoenix, Arizona to an Athletes International Ministry, which is where Shawn Michaels is affiliated with it, Ted DiBiase.
Superstar Billy Graham.
Huh?
Superstar Billy Graham, I think, was there.
And I was baptized, born again, and saved, and now I'm doing Christian wrestling shows. I guess you could say that I'm a fisher amongst men, and I'm really enjoying going to the prisons and speaking out about helping people hopefully turn to Christ. And there's probably a whole lot of people out there going, yeah, well, you're an old lady and that's all you can do. And actually, yeah, I am an old lady, but that's not all I could be doing. And it's really exciting work for me.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that. A couple more questions about your career. What did you think of The Oddities?
The Oddities. Well, To me, The Oddities were some of the worst wrestlers that you could ever throw together in a match. But you know, I remember one night we had to have a match against Jeff Jarrett, and I've got to show you how much respect I have for Jeff Jarrett. If Jeff Jarrett, instead of being like most people were when they drew The Oddities, Jeff Jarrett contemplated it and thought about it a whole lot and thought about how we were going to have a match that was going to be a good match, where a lot of people are only working for themselves in the ring. Jeff Jarrett would not only works for the match, but he also works for the show. And there's not too many people like that. Bam Bam was like that. Bam Bam was like, if there was 100 people, he would work as hard, if not harder, if there was 100 people there, because the next time there would be 1,000 people there. Because that way, you know, you've gone out there and you've given them even more. And Jeff Jarrett, when he drew The Oddities that night, he didn't grumble, he didn't complain, he didn't start with all the oddity jokes. He went out there and he had one heck of a match with The Oddities. But I'll tell you what, I never had any more fun in the ring, and it was all a big rib on all of us, and it was a big rib to play Miss America and all that. And China got really, really mad that they were going to play that song for me, and you know, there's a lot of haters. creatures in this world, and as it turned out, the people had more fun with it because it got them off their feet, and they get, when you involve the crowd in what you're doing in the ring, they have a good time with it, you know. So even though we had the worst wrestlers, here we have some of the worst wrestlers in the world, the people are having fun with it, and that's what it's all about, you know. It's like, if we can change some people's reactions, and, you know, like, the best match I ever saw in my whole life was in Poughkeepsie, New York, and it was Owen Hart, Bret versus Bret Hart, and it was basically, did not move from, like, about 4 feet in the middle of the ring, and it was just reversals. It was just the two of them, like, as if they were in the dungeon at home, you know, Stu Hart's dungeon, and it was just the greatest match, because I appreciate good wrestling. I'm not just a bimbo that with a boob job that wants to get up there and be pretty. I've made a reputation out of being ugly and ugly acting. That's been my job. But I grew up in a wrestling family, and I like good wrestling. And like I was saying, the best wrestling I ever saw was Bret and Owen, a match against each other. And so it was really exciting to see this match against, that's probably one of my favorite matches I ever saw was Bret and Owen against each other. But I'm going off the track here. So what were we talking about?
I want to ask you, who created the Oddities? Whose idea was it?
If I'm not mistaken, it was something Jim Cornette came up with.
Really? Interesting.
He's a brilliant man.
Absolutely. What do you think of the current state of women's wrestling?
Sad. It's sad. It seems the little bit that I do see is, trust me, it's such a little bit that I really shouldn't give an opinion at all. It seems that I see Lita, who can do a whole lot of fantastic moves. Okay, let's get real personal here. Things happen when you go down the road. I don't think that they need to be brought into when the business is business and pleasure is pleasure, and things happen when you're going down the road, and I understand that, and I don't know if I'm being taken as part of a big angle, but I don't think so. But I don't think Matt Hardy's heart needs it to be broken so bad, and stuff happens, and I think she can do a whole bunch of awesome moves, but I don't think in Japan the women are retired by 26, and the number two rated show in all of Japanese television, and this is the all-women's wrestling show, and that comes after, of course, baseball and sumo, which are quarterly, which the wrestling show is not a quarterly show, so I'm not trying to compete with that, okay? It's an all-women's wrestling show, and the women are retired by 26 years old because they do moves like Lita's doing. Putting those kind of moves in the proper place is one thing, but to do what Molly Holly, you've got to have some of what Molly Holly has, where you, when you hit those spectacular moves, it's for a reason. So you're still telling a story. And it's not that I'm a great wrestler that can tell you that. I can look at a match, I can tell you a great match by watching it. Not that I've had so many great matches. I did wrestle a bimbo that did told me that she would not learn how to take a bump, and I did wrestle a bimbo that I was told that if I scratched or bruised her at WrestleMania, who would not learn how to take a bump, that I would lose my job. So, you know, this is not the ballet out there. you know, I think you guys know I'm referring to Sable.
Yeah, I was going to say, what really happened at the end of your last time with WWF back in 2000? You know, always said that you had problems with Sable, and that was the reason they let you go.
Well, basically what had happened was something with a production crew member. They were looking for a reason. I was kept being told that if I scratched a rooster that I would be fired. And I'm a hard hitting wrestler. I like it like that. I like being hit hard. I don't pull punches. I don't like punches being pulled on me. You can throw anything in the right place as hard as you want on me, you know. We're girls. And we have to sometimes give it a little bit harder than the guys do because we don't have as much experience as the guys. We can't do it as much smoke and mirrors as the guys do. And with Sable, she didn't know how to do anything. I mean, she would not. Before WrestleMania, I asked her, please just let me teach you how to take bumps or you know how to protect yourself. And she said no, that she was going to be champion. That was something that I had desired from the time I was 3 years old. I think I'm the only woman that never got it. Of course, I'm not going to be so ugly as to say what I'm thinking, but that's all I wanted from the time I was 3 years old. And it seems like the more you want something, sometimes the less you can have it. I don't know, but to just, I really cared about her at one point, you know. I really, really cared about her, and I cared about us going out there and having one heck of a match. And as it turned out, I guess it came out in newsletters that it was one of the better matches on that WrestleMania.
Right.
And that's without her learning to take bumps. And so I'd say that's equivalent to working with a mop. And I'm not a great wrestler. I'm a gimmick, okay? I know my role.
If you ran into Sable now, what would you say to her?
I would ask her, you know, if she thought that it was going to be that easy with everybody else, and so she got me out of her way. And then she started having matches with Jackie. Now, Jackie is somebody who is one of my most famous favorite people to wrestle next to Sherry. Now, when Jackie hits you with a clothesline, your ears ring for a week. Alright? She's shorter than you, and I guess the way she has to jump up and give them to you, her arm must wrap around your ear or something, and I don't know, but your ears ring for a week after she hits you with a clothesline. You learn real quick that when she's coming with those clotheslines, to throw an arm up or something to protect your ears. And so after a very short time of her working with Jackie, I did get my job back because they wanted me to go around the block again with Sable because Sable found out that she wasn't going to be able to work with just anybody. Like, everybody wasn't going to be as kind to her as I had been. She was getting hurt every night with Jackie.
Now, you're talking about working, you're a physical wrestler, you like the physical style, and obviously that plays more into the hands of Japan. I know you worked in Japan. What was your career highlight in Japan?
You know, I know what? I was the biggest wuss in Japan. I was so, you know, my mom and I were just talking about this the other day, is that I was so scared the whole time I was there that I wasn't going to come home. They call us gaijin over there, which I guess I've heard many interpretations, but I guess means alien, like an alien from space.
Really?
And they, as much as we are like movie stars over there, I was so frightened the whole time that I wasn't going to come back to my country. I am one of the biggest patriotic females that you will ever meet, probably, in this business. And I was so frightened that I wasn't, that I think I was like a zombie the whole time I was there. So I can't, I don't think my wrestling was up to par. I don't think I was up to par. I know I wasn't. And I know, like, the sunrise is at, like, 3 a.m., and it's huge, and it's beautiful, and it's a beautiful country, and it was an honor to be there. But when I went back, and I've done now something equivalent to, like, USO bases over there, and that has meant more to me to do those, because I haven't felt so claustrophobic, because I've been surrounded by more Americans, and it's a feeling that you're going to be able to come home. You know what I'm, does that make any sense?
Right.
Where my first tours of Japan, when you're thrown into 30 girls and they're all out to take your knees out or bust your head open or break your arms. See, when you go in there, there is no entertainment to what they do. It's you're going against kickboxers and karate girls, and they're out, especially the young girls, they're out to make a name for themselves.
I want to ask you, I don't know how currently you're up on WWE, but if you watch it, what do you think of the current WWE product right now?
Well, I don't watch it that much. Occasionally I'll click through and I'll see something, and it's so much talking.
It's, absolutely.
You know?
Something we've criticized for a while is, where's the wrestling, you know?
Yeah, it's like, where is the wrestling? And I just wonder, how can they be drawing at house shows? How can they be drawing at house shows when there's so much? I don't know if that helps them or hinders them, but I hear it's down.
Yeah, the ratings are down, the house show business is down a little bit. And another thing I know I want to get your opinion on is, what do you think of this Diva Search competition they're currently doing?
Well, are they wrestlers, these divas?
No, they're mostly models. I mean, no.
I don't see the point. What does, you know, I mean, I don't know. I could see it. It was nice when they did it with China. Like, I was the only one that wasn't invited into I did a bikini contest. And when I looked at the pictures, I went, wow, I looked as good as all of them. You know, I was like, it sort of freaked me out, you know. I was sort of blown away that, you know, because nobody had ever seen me, like, with my calves and everything showing. It kind of, like, blew my mind that, you know, and I hate to sound conceited here. It just, you know, I was kind of more covered up than most people, I suppose. And I could see that because we were all managers and stuff, but I don't know. I don't see the point of having, you know, I don't really see the point of it yet. Maybe somewhere, maybe they'll turn them all into wrestlers.
How did you like working with Goldust?
You know, he's a fine human being. He really is. He's down to earth, and he's country, and he's great. And him and Marlena were very very, very good to me. Terry were very, very, very good to me at the time. And it just, like, Bam Bam was wonderful because we went around with Tatanka for a long time, and every night Bam Bam would take me and Tatanka and sit us down and set us down and tell us, you know, what went good with this match, what went bad, what did you guys think, what, you know. He was a real teacher, and to be around Dustin, he was such a natural. He's so good at what he does, and people don't ever give him the respect that he deserves for being as good as he is.
Okay, very, very good. And also, I know you were mentioning your match with Sable at WrestleMania 14. The one that came to mind when I was thinking about you was WrestleMania, I think it was 10, when you teamed up with Bam Bam Bigelow against Tink and Doink. And I guess, you know, in general, do you have a favorite WrestleMania moment, maybe a favorite WWE moment? That's something that always sticks out in your mind?
Yes. When I came back from the match with Sable and Dustin and Mark Merrill, when I came through the gorilla position, nobody even said thank you to me. They didn't say thank you, kiss my ass, anything. They didn't say anything to me. I just walked straight through, right? And, you know, of course, Dustin and Mark Merrill had done so much of the work during the match, but they didn't say anything to me but when she came through, I swear balloons went up, champagne bottles went out, and Owen Hart grabbed me. I went behind, there's a big makeup box, we call it Barney because it's purple, and Owen Hart grabbed me and he put me behind the makeup box and he said, "You did one hell of a job. You did what you were a real pro out there," and he gave me a big hug and let me cry on his shoulder because my feelings were hurt that I didn't even get a thank you, you know. And so I guess my favorite moment was that Owen took the time to tell me.
Boy, we really miss Owen.
We always will, won't we?
Yeah. How about a favorite WCW moment?
Favorite WCW moment? Boy, there's been so many favorite places, hasn't there?
You really got around, haven't you?
I've been around.
I've been around.
I knew that I knew that they weren't going to be keeping me, and I knew that I had to do something to beat myself in a match, and she was coming with a clothesline. I knew I had to run full blast into this clothesline and just take a super bump for her, and so I just let her annihilate me. I ran so fast into this clothesline that I made the match over with the clothesline so that when I did this jump off of it. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes when something feels so good, it feels so right. You know what I mean? And remember, in my mind's eye now, it might sound so funny, but running so hard into this clothesline where it looked like, holy cow, you know, that I could still even get up from that clothesline. It felt so good. It felt so right. Like if a diver makes a perfect dive, how it must feel to them. That's the way this felt to me. So now I'm running into this clothesline that Medusa gave me. And then she missed on something and I came off the top and she moved and pinned me. And then I was gone from there too. So, and then a favorite ECW moment has to be at the cage with Stevie Richards.
Now, that real quickly, that WCW moment, was that a Nitro or a pay-per-view or...
I think it was a pay-per-view in Charlotte.
Okay. Do you have any professional regrets?
That I let people get... I let my temper... I if you were a character on stage that played a cat for 20 years, okay, so I'm 21 years in the business now, okay, and if I was a character on stage that played a cat for 21 years, after a while you start believing you're the cat. Well, after a while, I started believing I was a lunatic, and that was carried in and outside the ring. And I wish that I would have acted more like a lady instead of a lunatic.
How about a favorite match or the best match of your career?
My favorite matches have to go Sherry and one of my favorites has to be the Manhattan Center when I first came out, when we did kind of a strip match, because nobody had seen anything like that before. When Sergeant Slaughter ended up having to put me over his shoulder and I was in a G-string. And even though that doesn't have a whole lot to do with wrestling, it was downright dirty and serious. And when Sherry and I fought, we fought like, well, I broke her nose one night. There was no time for I'm sorry in the ring. We were all like that. We were like that, you know. Sherry and I would get out there and tear each other apart, and it sounds like I'm some kind of sadist or something. But it's just that you have put that much heart into it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Do you have anything left to accomplish in this business?
My book.
Okay, well, when's the book coming out?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I should wait for some people to die. I'm still deciding on that.
Okay, fair enough.
It's gonna be ragged, but it's gonna be real, just like me.
Do you have any dates coming up? Any shows or any appearances you're gonna be making?
I'm gonna be in Nashua. I think it's Nashua, New Hampshire this weekend. I believe it's Nashua, New Hampshire. And you can get a hold of the promoter. His name is Ripper at area code 603-889-3025.
Okay.
All right, for that booking, and hopefully we'll stay in touch and you'll call back and talk to the vampire someday.
No, we'll definitely look forward to that. I would love to talk to David. I think that'd be a good interview, so we're looking forward to that.
All right, sweetie. Thank you so much for calling, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks for your time, Roy. You take care, and God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that's Luna Vachon. This is the Gerwig Report Hotline. We're going to spin off for now. Definitely check out www.gerwek.net. That's Gerwig.net for all your pro wrestling news, results, rosters, interviews, and polls. So again, thanks to Luna. We really appreciate her time today. Busy girl out there, and glad to catch up to her. Definitely, as I said, tomorrow night we'll be back with your next report. We're going to talk about the Great American Bash. We'll have your predictions. Do you have any thoughts about the pay-per-view, any comments, any predictions you'd like to make yourself? Definitely leave us some voicemail. And voicemail, it can be left at the beep, or anytime while you're listening to this, you can just press pound. Oh, tonight's about the Fillmore system, 7 to rewind, 8 to pause, or 9 to fast forward. You can hit 0 for additional wrestling or additional options, and then 1, believe it or not, will take you back to the beginning of this report. If you listen to the Luna interview again, please do so. Again, thanks to Luna. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate all the support here. As I said, for all your pro wrestling news today, definitely check out www.gerwek.net. That's Gerwek.net. Thanks again, and God bless.
At the tone, please record.